Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. She's the boss. We're hearing that more and more when it comes to black women entrepreneurs. Increasingly, they are stepping out on their own and changing the game of small business success. This is our Women Wednesday conversation for Women's History Month. And tonight we're talking to two women who are veterans in business ownership. Jerry Evans is the CEO of Turning Natural Juice Bars, and Sharon Washington, CEO of the P3 Solution, a marketing and communications company. If you have any questions or comments about owning your own business, starting out, or help in staying alive, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Ladies, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Now, according to an American Express report on the state of women-owned business, women-owned businesses from 2007 to 2008 increased 58%. But businesses owned by black women grew at 172% during the same time period. Let me say that again. 172% over 11 years, 2007 to 2018. That's more than three times the overall rate. Sharon, why do you think that's?
Because we go for it. I mean,
what do you mean by that?
Like. So I think, I know, being a black woman myself, mm-hmm. we're very resilient, results oriented. We want to get it done, ambitious. And so I think that we're just putting it out there and trying new things and figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did.
Jerry, what do you think?
I think black women are tired of waiting.
Waiting for what?
Waiting for everything. And so we are specializing in results, and we're getting it done. Everything that we see that are necessities, we're making it happen.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I think the internet, you have to wait on the internet, because when I was looking up your business today, Jerry, and I asked you in the hallway, I said, well, you have three juice bars. You said four.
Yes.
But the internet says you only have three. So you are moving faster than the internet.
It looks that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you have this juice company, and you have these shops. And as a person who juices at home, I'm going to tell you, I was impressed.
Thank you.
My boss told me to sample it on the air, and I drank more than half of it.
I see.
I only had...
as you sample more.
Oh, man. You're making them jealous.
Right, little sound effects there. But... Right. And, you know, I don't do endorsements here. And if I didn't like it, I'd tell you.
Thank you.
And you wouldn't be happy because I'd keep it real. But this is actually delicious, 50 Shades of Green. How'd you start this?
So my mom actually started it. My mom was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer in 2001. And for 9.5 years, she was cancer-free through juicing and changing her lifestyle. So she did the conventional and alternative route. So she had a lumpectomy, and 9.5 years, perfect health, and cancer came back. And it was much more aggressive. It spread to her bones, and then it went to her blood. And then within like 2 weeks of us finding out that cancer had came back, my mom transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
And so by trade, I'm an aeronautical engineer. I was living in Atlanta at the time and decided that I wanted to come home. And I wanted to spread the news of health and everything that I knew within that 9.5 year transition that we were making with making ourselves healthier. And so I decided to do it through the same channeled that my mom was doing it. So during chemotherapy, she just was nauseated all the time, didn't really have a lot of energy. And the doctors was like, eat, eat, eat. You have to eat. But if you're nauseated, you don't feel like eating. Juicing was a major way for her to get the nutrients in without having to feel like she was just bombarding herself with food.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting because everybody, you know, pretty much, you know, knows some of the, you know, the health benefits of juicing. And certainly, you know, I would imagine that you carry your mom with you as an inspiration, even as you continue to spread, you know, spread the, you know, the business. Sharon, you know, you've been here before. Give me in a nutshell why you decided to step out on your own and start this marketing and communications company.
Absolutely. I wanted my own creativity. I felt stifled in corporate America, working for associations. I couldn't be creative. I couldn't make changes when I wanted to. The decisions were up to someone else. So I decided, hey, I'm going to make my own decisions, take my own risk. Many of the companies I went with were risk adverse. So they didn't want to take any risk. And I believe in taking risks. And taking risk has gotten me 13 years still in business.
Interesting. What is the most difficult thing about your business for you 13 years in?
Still feeling successful.
So what is that? What do you mean
so
by that?
I still feel that I have tons to prove, that I have it. I'm speaking internationally. My business is growing financially. I still don't feel like it's enough. So even though people around you kind of pat you on your back, great job, you're doing well, I still don't feel like I'm as successful as I could be.
So I'm still not clear about how you define success. I mean, do you want, are you talking about, you know, more money?
Right.
Are you talking about more business status? Where mm-hmm. How would you define
probably
that?
A combination of both. So notoriety, of course. I can never make enough money, right?
Mm-hmm.
but notoriety, and I think that I have the notoriety, I'm just not there. It's more internal. I know this. I'm a communication professor. I know this. And so you ask, like, what is success? Oftentimes I have to say that to myself, like, okay, so how are you defining success in this moment? And I can't really give you a specific definition other than the notoriety and the stature, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Oprah yet.
Right. Well, that's, but who is?
Yeah, right.
Other than Oprah. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Black women entrepreneurs owning their own business. Yes, she is the boss. What are the ups? What are the downs of being a Black woman entrepreneur? Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Charlene, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Charlene. She yes. What's on your mind, Charlene?
Well, I just wanted to call in because I, too, am a female entrepreneur and have been for several years. But, you know, it has taken some phases because in the beginning I was a hairstylist and I wanted to open my own salon. And, of course, everything was solely on me. And for any of the ladies that are entrepreneurs, you know how hard that really can be. And then I ended up doing some direct selling, and so that gave me another way of looking at entrepreneurship. It actually helped me to guide me with that and to be able to save up and to be able to open the business now that I believe was my passion and my direction from the very beginning, which is speaking and coaching and being an author. So it has taken a transition, but now is the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you are looking to be an entrepreneur, now is the time. One of the ladies said it, if you're solving a problem, it is out there for you. So it's just been a wonderful experience.
Well, Charlene, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Jerry, is Charlene right? Solving a problem sounds like part of your start.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You have to identify. My first thing is make a decision and maintain it. because we have so many ideas like, oh, I want to do this. Now I want to do this. And you think that, excuse me, that everything is supposed to be your route. It's not. Like, make a decision, maintain it, and do the work to get you to where you're trying to be. There were a lot of, my problem was too many people were dying that I knew from ailments like cancer, diabetes, that we can name them all. But we aren't doing anything to make sure that we're making health accessible first. So why are people dying from certain things? One, they eat like crap, or they don't have access to it. And so if I can knock, you know, two birds out with one stone, is providing healthy options in communities that are underserved, why not do it?
One of the things, though, about you that is really fascinating is, you know, you said you were an aeronautical engineer, translation rocket science. Okay. unhidden figure. this is not what you went to school for. This was not your passion. So how was that transition from, the Black Einstein Nika to business owner, to entrepreneur, successful.
Well, thank you.
Entrepreneur, business owner.
So I had to decide to differentiate what I'm good at and what my gift is. I'm good at math. I'm good at physics. I'm good at science, right? Hence, aeronautical engineer, not rocket scientist.
Well, you know, these days, those planes are going into orbit. I do pay attention to Elon Musk, so let's be clear. But no, go right ahead.
And so differentiating what I'm good at and what I'm gifted at, I enjoy engineering. I've really loved it. I love the logical thinking and thinking outside of the box and creating. But my passion is people. And if I can be, representation matters. And so growing up in Southeast D.C., I didn't see Black business owners. And so if I can be that for someone to say, hey, it's this girl from the hood that created a business and doing well, then, you know, so be it.
Fascinating. I would imagine you didn't see many aeronautical engineers.
I definitely did not.
Yeah, but I'm glad that you are representative of a broad space of intellect and business. And the same with you, Sharon, because you, like I said, you've been here before and you're always impressive.
Oh, well, thank you.
always. Absolutely. Smile on your face and serious business person. Let me go back to the phone line. Shawnee calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just first want to say I'm so inspired by hearing the different stories and just women entrepreneurs and Black women at that. It's such an inspiration to me. My question is, you know, being in the area where I'm in, yes, there is a broad range of ethnicity. However, I have found that the way that businesses are accepted still has a little bit of a ways to go, and it's left me a little hesitant in branching out to start my own business. The company that I work for really allows me the freedom to run it, so I feel like I'm running my business until I see my paycheck, and then I realize that I don't necessarily own everything. But I've noticed that going into different places that, you know, if it's owned by Black male or even Black female, the way that the business is treated within the community.
Well, Shawnee, let me see if I can have Sharon briefly tackle that, and we'll let her finish on the other side. So please don't hang up. Go right ahead, Sharon.
So, Shawnee, you say that it seems to be some disconnect of because you're a Black business. Sometimes that's in our heads. Like, I really reach out to different ethnicities, race, and gender kind of to bust through. So lots of times we, sometimes African-Americans, we can put kind of that pressure, not to dismiss that it is not out there, that we aren't, there's some disparity. But I think sometimes we put that in our heads and you should just go for it, like bust through it without thinking that, hey, this isn't going to work for me because I'm a Black business.
Shawnee, don't hang up, because I also want Jerry's take on your concerns as well. Ty calling from Bowie. And we just, Bertha, you just hung up. You shouldn't have, because you would have been able to hear the program and get your question answered. But for those of you who are still interested in getting your question answered, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about black women business owners. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking tonight about black women and business ownership. This is our Women Wednesday conversation for Women's History Month. Jerry Evans is the CEO of Turning Natural Juice Bars, and Sharon Washington, CEO of the P3 Solution Marketing and Communications Company. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Shawnee calling from Virginia, and she was concerned about what part race may play in business success or failure. I would argue, Jerry, that you are certainly in a space where there are very few African Americans and even fewer black women.
Yeah. Yeah. I get often, when people come in, they say, is this a black business? And I'm like, well, yes, all day. And they say, oh, it didn't look like one.
Ooh, now what does that mean?
And I have to ask, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And black businesses come with so many different stigmas. And for one in particular, I'm selling green juice in the hood. I think if you build an amazing product, an amazing service, people will come. And it doesn't matter if they're black, white, Asian. It doesn't matter. If you have an amazing product, people will show up.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Shawnee, thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Not everybody can do this. Some people are used to a check every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Some people are used to 9 to 5. Your thoughts about what it takes, Sharon, to be an entrepreneur, to get through 1 year, 2 years, 13 years?
Bottles of Ron Zacapa. No.
What? Is that a new juice flavor?
Yes, please, right? It takes grit. Lot of determination, focus. So Jerry said that you have to know, have a problem with an M, not an S. So you solve a problem. You're very focused. When you have like this idea of all these ideas I want to do and you look to solve many problems, you actually fall short in the marketplace. So you need grit, you need focus, and what's important is you need a tribe of people. So mentors, people who are above your station, not quite where you are. You need all of that. You need like a really deep tribe to talk to and a good counselor.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, your thoughts about that?
I think you have to be extremely relentless, never stopping, and disciplined.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to do it. In theory, it sounds good, but execution is everything. Like so many people say, oh, I wanted to open a juice bar. And, you know, not to be rude, I'm just like, well, why didn't you? And it's like, oh, well, you know, life. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I was mourning, you know, like I was in an extremely dark place after my mom passed and I quit my job. And in the middle of a recession, and everyone's like, what are you doing? You have a really good job. And I knew that in order for me to survive first, I had to figure out something that I was extremely passionate about, and it was continuing my mom's legacy. But I had to have the discipline to get through it, because it was, you know, do the work. It's like stand up early in the morning to write the labels and to juice all of this stuff myself and combining formulas and figuring it out. So it's discipline and being extremely relentless.
Is there a culture that some people just are not aware of when it comes to being an entrepreneur?
Okay, so I think that entrepreneurship has become a fad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as Jerry said, everyone thinks that they can be an entrepreneur. I do think that there is a culture of serious entrepreneurs that are relentless, focused, that are making it happen and building their businesses. Definitely in the African-American community, definitely with African-American women. But I think there is a lot of us that we don't talk about that just kind of, they're kind of hanging out for the notoriety of it. Like, mm-hmm. to say, hey, I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. And we romanticize it.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't work for myself. Like, everyone says, I want to be an entrepreneur because I want to work for myself. I don't work for myself. I work for everybody that walks through that door.
Mm-hmm.
It is my responsibility to make sure they get an excellent product, an excellent service. I work for my staff. I work for other people. In turn, you know, I benefit from everything else that comes with it, but I'm working for other people. So romanticizing it like, oh, I want, it's mine, just for the sake of saying it's mine, mm-hmm. that's not enough.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dakota, calling from Columbia. Dakota, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
You're welcome. Thank you so much. I really agree with what the two sisters are saying, especially, I believe it was Sharon who said, the reason we're going into business is because we're tired of waiting. And that is true. As African-American women, we are the number one consumers across the board, compared to every category. Doesn't matter if it's a product or a service. We understand the premium products, understand great service. So we would be the number one target group that would go into businesses and be entrepreneurs because we understand the value of products and services. And also, we know how to differentiate between personal and business. The color of money is green. So it does not matter to us who our customers are, where they're coming from. We understand the bottom line, and we cover a myriad of bases. So we are designed, we have it in our DNA to be strong, successful entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And I am very proud to say that I've been an entrepreneur for over 10 years, and I'm in the process of purchasing a bed and breakfast.
Well, there you go. Well done. Thank you so much, Dakota. I appreciate your phone call. Ty, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Ty. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? First of all, I want to give a big shout-out to the two great visionaries you have on the show tonight. I've watched both of them kind of grow organically. I support Turning Natural. I haven't met Jerry personally, but I go to all of her locations. And they do a good job. They got great customer service. They got some great products. Now, Sharon, I've been knowing her for a long time. Sharon, this is Ty that owns Trop Chew Creamery.
Oh, hi, Ty.
And I've watched Sharon just do some amazing things. Her passion to get things done. You know, she wrote a book a couple years ago, and you know, it helped my business out a little bit too as well. And these are two, although they're African-American women, I think they're visionaries, I think they're C-level executives, and whatever they want to do, the sky's the limit.
Well, let me say, Ty, that, because you said, although they're African-American women, I think that success in being an African-American woman, those things are not mutually exclusive. But finish your point.
Gotcha. We have so many young women in America, especially African-American young women, that sometimes, you know, they get into the entrepreneurial stuff kind of later on in life. What can we do to get to some of these young teenage girls these days to try to shape them so they could be sitting in your shoes 10 to 15 years from now?
Great question. Both of them. Jerry, I'll let you go first and then Sharon.
To piggyback on what I said earlier is that representation matters. So making sure that when I am in these rooms, sometimes I may be the first at the table when it comes to it. Make sure I'm not the only one. I bring somebody with me. I have a lot of young women who work with me that are part of my team, and I make sure that they're not just learning how to make juices and smoothies. We're teaching them, how much does this straw cost? Every time we give it away, what does this look like? How does this translate? Making sure they understand the key points in the business that they're working with, and making them understand that you're not working for me, you're working with me.
I think that, especially, I visit some of the detention centers and schools around the city. They don't know what they're capable of. So I think it's our responsibility to go in there and tell them this is a time where they can do anything. They can make $1 million off a shoestring, like, to try to build them up to what they like to do so that they can get in the groove of things very early, go to school or get focused or get a trade to build out how to become an entrepreneur. But we got to go in and grab them instead of waiting for them to say, hey, I'm ready.
Right.
Why are they not stepping up and saying, hey, I'm ready?
I don't think they know. My experience has been when I go to the detention centers, they don't see the light. Like, they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And me coming up, I'm a Gen Xer, 20-something. So,
right. Yes.
I'm proud DC Public Schools. I'm Northeast, Northwest born and raised. And you had to be a government worker, real estate agent, or nurse. Right. So they still aren't aware of the things that they could do, even with all the social media. They just don't see themselves in that space.
Interesting. Ty, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Now, here's something that is, I'm sure, quite different. Now, Sharon, you work out of your home. Isn't
yes,
that correct?
I do.
So you don't have to worry so much about brick and mortar capital.
No overhead.
Right, exactly. But,
nice.
Jerry, you do.
Yes.
And as we said in the beginning of this conversation, you have now, even though, you know, the internet is undefeated, you have beat the internet with 4 stores instead of 3. How do you deal with the capital output of the next brick and mortar store? How did you go from 1 to 2? Because I'm sure that was probably the biggest step in expansion.
So everything that I learned about business either came from a brick wall or a book. And
brick wall, what do you mean? Hitting a brick wall?
Hitting a brick wall.
I like that. Go ahead.
And so our very first location, everything that we earned, I saved. And when it was time to build the second location, that money from savings and the operating, you know, cash flow from the location, the one location, went to build that location. And we've done it that way since. We are a debt-free company, don't have any business loans, don't have any investors. We were doing it brick by brick.
So how did you get the first store then?
I literally started this company with $300. I had a juicer, I ordered some bottles, I went to Restaurant Depot. I didn't even have a business entity to go to Restaurant Depot, so I just kind of like snuck in. We're good now, but just literally started from there.
Like Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland. Here, drink me. Go ahead.
Brick by brick, literally brick by brick, and starting from just that we were in a 450 square foot space, and then we moved to a 2,000 square foot space in the same plaza in Forestville. After that was our MLK location in Anacostia, and it was literally, I didn't know triple net. I knew nothing about
triple net.
Triple net is like after rent. It's with the property taxes and making sure you take care of the outside of the property. And then you're talking about property tax. I'm like, wait, you told me $2,500, and now we're talking about $3,200. On top of water, and I totally underestimated everything. And I didn't have anyone to tell me that these things were coming. You know, I went from a 1-page lease to, you know, now 40 pages where I have to have a lawyer to look at this because this is above anything that I've ever experienced.
Interesting. Very fascinating. I need to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about brick walls and sacrifices, the personal sacrifices. What is it that, as an entrepreneur, what are the things that you have missed out on? What are those kinds of sacrifices that you've had to make for the success of your business? We are talking to Black women about business ownership. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about Black women and business ownership. We are talking to Jerry Evans, who is the CEO of Turning Natural Juice Bars, and Sharon Washington, CEO of the P3 Solution Marketing and Communications Company. Hardest time for you, Sharon, over these 13 years when you were fully immersed in your business?
Hardest time, getting my immediate family to see my vision. Mm. Oh, and caring. So a lot of times they couldn't understand. Again, I'm a professor too, right? They couldn't understand why I would leave a job, not wanting to be a professor. I still teach, but not wanting to be a professor and kind of jumping out here to do just marketing. They could not see my trajectory. And so it was difficult because I'm family oriented. We're all in. So not being able to go to, say, my husband initially. Now they're all on board, right?
Because he's seen the check.
Is that a man thing?
No, you know, all jokes aside, I don't think that's about a man thing. I think that is about, as you said, getting someone to believe in your dream, because the end result is to make money. You are in business to make money.
Right.
And so when he sees the result, it's like, oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now he sees the vision fully and he can.
Is that what they call
it's like,
it?
Yeah.
The vision.
It's like, yeah, I get that. You want to do that? Let's do that. That was a hard part for me because I was like, so some days I would come in and go, I want to quit. I was sharing that with Jerry. Like, so I quit every Tuesday out of frustration. He's like, well, maybe you should go back to work, because he didn't think I was fully in. So not being able to see the vision from my family not being able to see the vision was hard and challenging. And then, you know, after the checks start rolling in and the notoriety came in, it's like, oh, okay, oh, this is a thing. Mm-hmm. And so we're 4 years later, and they're like, yeah, so whatever you want to do, just go ahead and try it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Your thoughts about that, Jerry, your most difficult time, and how long have you been in business now?
This is year six.
Year six. Four stores, year, and 6 years. So what, that's a store every, on average, what, every 18 months?
Basically, yeah.
Hardest time for you?
Losing myself in the business, that I am so consumed with everything. I need to make sure this happens. I need to make sure payroll happens. I need to make sure the store has product. It's like I'm so consumed that I don't want it to fail. And instead of trusting my team to delegate things to them, I'm saying, I can do it. I can do it the fastest. I know I'm going to get it done, because I don't like rework. And so That's the hardest part, is that I'm so consumed that I don't get to enjoy the journey, like really to look at the journey like this is happening. Because when you say like every 18 months, that's a store, like that's a big accomplishment. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, now I'm on to the next one, instead of really enjoying the process and soaking it all in.
Is that where you are now? Still lost in it, not enjoying the process, trusting your team?
No. Okay. 2018 was a very difficult year of delegation and just sitting back to say, I know that they have it, and things fall. The ball drops. And when the ball drops, it's like, I don't have to run to go pick it up. I have to trust that they got it.
Mm-hmm. Sharon made a comment about Oprah. And I think that we all remember that when Oprah went from Oprah Winfrey to Oprah and developed this empire, in order to do that, it required delegation.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a brand, but you can't manage everything.
Right.
And was that Are you still a one-woman show, Sharon? No,
absolutely not. Actually, I split my brand in two. So my personal professional brand is me by myself. I speak and train. That's me. But the business is its own separate entity. So the P3 Solution has... now I subcontract because it was delegating, and that's hard to do. Yeah. Like that is right, Jerry. That's yeah. difficult to do, to kind of give up what you know that you've built. So no, I'm no longer a solopreneur. Mm-hmm. No.
What impact has it had on your personal life after your husband saw the checks?
I can sleep. we can go on dates. Mm-hmm. I used to be in my office and sleep on the floor, like to wake up to be right next to the computer. Anybody that's in my inner circle knows this is very true. So I would take short naps, like, I don't know, 20 minutes and then get up and work 3 hours, then 20 minutes, 3 hours. And I would do that probably 24 hours or 48 hours. So I wouldn't go to bed. And my husband was having
a conniption. Yeah. Right. So what about you, Jerry? What impact has this journey had on your personal life?
It's definitely made me a little more compassionate. You know, before, especially as an engineer, we have a very black and white mindset. And now it's like, it's not just black and white. I have staff that has children. I have customers that have ailments. It's now I have to stop. And instead of just driving straight forward, it's like, okay, what's this? What's that? It's definitely made me more compassionate and being okay with being assertive. Like, I think, especially for black women, there's a very fine line that people say, oh, they're aggressive, when I'm really operating in me just being assertive. Like, I can be nice, but I also have to be fair to myself. And sometimes it doesn't mean singing my the things I want. Sometimes I need to just say it.
I like that.
Oh, my. Good thing we're on the Sirius XM side. Millie, calling from Dumfries, Virginia. What's on your mind, Millie?
Lily with an L.
Oh, Lily, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
That's okay. My issue is I have been considering myself an entrepreneur for years. I made a prototype for Garage Netting back in 2009, and from there, it was just a basic garage netting. From there, I went to making sports netting with the sports logos on it, and I went as far as trying to get a patent for it. I got to the patent office. They denied it because they said they had too many nettings on the market already. Except for my type was not on the market because I have the sports team logos on there.
Well, Lily, I'm low on time. What's your question?
My question is, how do you break through to the sports people to get someone to partner with you?
What have you done? Who have you connected with on that side? Many of my successes have been through actually connections. People they know, like, and trust you. If they know you, they like you, they trust you, they'll purchase from you, they'll partner with you. So, and it's a cycle. So as a marketer, I tell people all the time that there's a cycle. People aren't just going to jump in bed with you because you have something great. They got to get to know you because everybody, to be honest, everybody's doing everything. There's a lot of juicers and mm-hmm. a lot of marketers. So they got to figure out what your new, better, or different idea. How's that unique to them? And part of that is getting to know you. So build your connections first without making the sale. And okay. Be patient about it.
Thank you, Lily. Good luck to you. Real quick, from both of you, what's the best piece of advice that you can give someone who's hearing us and said, I can do it? I think.
Get some help. Go build you a tribe. Talk to some people. Get you some help first. Before you execute the idea, go talk to someone about the realness of building a business and then determine whether you want to go into that.
Interesting. Jerry, your best piece of advice?
I agree. You need a team. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go hire a whole bunch of people, but you need a good tribe of people to probably tell you that's something that you need to stop thinking about or something you need to start doing.
But her husband didn't understand, and he was her number one team member, right? So when do you stop listening to the people who tell you no?
Depends on how bad you want it.
Exactly.
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah.
A very, very good answer. Jerry Evans and Sharon Washington, thank you both for spending some time with me talking about this.
Thank you.
Really, really fascinating. And I'm quite sure giving our listeners something to listen and think about the women and the men. Ty.
He's going to get me.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. And good luck to both of you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.